A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, I could not talk to you as spiritual people, but as fleshly people, as infants in Christ. I fed you milk, not solid food, because you were unable to take it. Indeed, you are still not able, even now, for you are still of the flesh. While there is jealousy and rivalry among you, are you not of the flesh and walking according to the manner of man? Whenever someone says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos, are you not merely men? What is Apollos, after all, and what is Paul? Ministers through whom you became believers, just as the Lord assigned each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God caused the growth. Therefore, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who causes the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive wages in proportion to his labor. For we are God's co-workers. You are God's field, God's building. Verbum Domini. Blessed the people the Lord has chosen to be his own. Blessed the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen for his own inheritance. From heaven the Lord looks down, he sees all mankind. From his fixed throne he beholds all who dwell on the earth, he who fashioned the heart of each, he who knows all their works. Our soul waits for the Lord, who is our help and our shield. For in him our hearts rejoice, in his holy name we trust.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritus tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
After Jesus left the synagogue, he entered the house of Simon. Simon's mother-in-law was afflicted with a severe fever, and they interceded with him about her. He stood over her, rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up immediately and waited on them. At sunset, all who had people sick with various diseases brought them to him. He laid his hands on each of them and cured them. And demons also came out of many, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and did not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. At daybreak, Jesus left and went to a deserted place. The crowds went looking for him, and when they came to him, they tried to prevent him from leaving them. But he said to them, "To the other towns also, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God, because for this purpose I have been sent." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea.
Verbum Domini.
The sick attract the Lord Jesus. You might say that he was born for them, for the sick. Not just sick in body, sick physically, but sick in our souls, separated from God in order to bring healing, in order to bring restoration. Simon's mother-in-law was afflicted with a severe fever, and they interceded with him about her. She couldn't come to Jesus, so Jesus came to her. Jesus stood over her, rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up and immediately waited on them. The presence of Jesus is alive in his church. His mystical body, the church. It's in the church, the ecclesia, the gathering, that we receive the gift of new birth, the sacrament of baptism. We are born again, born from above. Through the sacraments and through the gift of eternal life given through the sacraments, we are born again, not just once, but again. And again and again, changed, sick people that we are. When we fall, the sacraments heal us. Not just physically, sometimes that happens. The primary effect of the sacrament of penance is to heal the soul, to restore life again to a soul that has been cut off from God. The effect of the sacrament of the anointing of the sick, the anointing of healing, is not so much the healing of the person's body. Sometimes that does happen, but primarily healing of soul, to conform the person that is sick, the person that is suffering with various illnesses, to conform them to Jesus and his suffering, to give them strength, to give them the grace to offer their lives to Jesus. The church is at every juncture of our lives to dispense what God freely wants to bestow upon his children. When we are sick in soul, the church is willingly there to pour forth the grace of the sacraments. Sacraments of penance and reconciliation cleanses us from sin and restores us to life in Christ. Again, healing in soul, sometimes in body, as the gospel and all throughout Christian history attests. And the removal of sin, these are priorities in the mission of the Lord Jesus and of his church. for 2,000 years to heal the sick. The church is a hospital for sinners. How does Jesus want to heal us? He wants to sever the power that the devil has over us, to sever his kingdom, to bring his kingdom of light. Jesus speaks as the way, the truth, and the life, and breaks the lie of the devil, the ancient foe, the ancient serpent, the accuser of our brethren. He comes to break that lie, to break the pattern of that lie, to prevent the pattern of that lie from entering into our lives, into our hearts. The Lord Jesus has the power to do this. He has the power to destroy and to convict the enemy. The gospel says, at sunset, all who had people sick with various diseases brought them to him. He laid his hands on each of them and cured them. The demons also came out of many, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and did not allow them to speak because they knew that he was the Christ. Chapter 4 of St. Luke's Gospel begins in the wilderness, in the desert, where Jesus did battle with his adversary, the devil, the father of lies. And Jesus fasted for 40 days, doing battle against Satan. We tend to skip over the words of the gospel, and he ate nothing during those days. 40 days in the desert where he ate nothing. Every person who has ever been hungry or thirsty, our Lord God, Jesus Christ, knew during those 40 days. His hunger, his bodily hunger. He had a hunger and a thirst to save you and to save me. In that fasting, he saw you and he saw me. Sick people. People who are meant to be saved. The people that he came, that he was born for. Immediately after his 40 days in the desert, St. Luke says Jesus came to Nazareth, to the place where he had been brought up. Jesus went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read from the book of the prophet Isaiah. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." What does this sound like? He comes to set the captive free. He comes to rescue. This is the great rescue mission. Jesus wants to set us free, to heal us. Today's gospel, the healing of Simon Peter's mother-in-law, is immediately after our Lord's reading of the prophecy of Isaiah and how this has been fulfilled in him. And Jesus is true to his word. He stood over her, rebuked the fever, and it left her. Not just the physical illness, but he rebuked evil, the cause. The Lord Jesus set Simon Peter's mother-in-law free, not just free from sickness, but free from the devil's oppression. St. Jerome says that Jesus is the chief physician who has come to heal us from the fever of our sins. Sin causes a spiritual fever and symptoms that leave a trail of devastation in our lives. An interesting insight. Sin causes a spiritual fever, not just a physical fever of symptoms in our body, but a spiritual fever. It can manifest itself in the seven capital sins: pride, avarice, lust, envy, gluttony, anger, sloth, and a whole list of other sins connected to them. Devastation. Saint Jerome continues, "May Christ come to our house and enter in and by his command cure the fever of our sins. Each one of us is sick with a fever," Saint Jerome says. "Whenever I give way to anger, I have a fever. There are many fevers as there are faults and vices. Jesus is the remedy, and he provides the remedy in the sacraments of his church." Word must have spread quickly about Simon Peter's mother-in-law healing. At sunset, all who had people with various diseases brought them to him. He laid his hands on each of them and cured each of them. Each person, the Lord Jesus touched and healed them, one at a time. There was a personal saving encounter with each sick person that he touched. Even as the God-man, he must have been tired. This scene taking place at sunset. It was dark all day long. He took time with each person. This is the care that our God has for us. And this is how he touches us in the sacraments of his church. As individuals, he stands over us and he touches us and he heals us. The Lord could have announced a command of healing over the entire group as a body. Surely he is God. He could have done that, and that would have been enough. But he chooses to meet each one of us, each one of them, in the gospel, to heal them and to touch them and to free them. You might say that he desires to enter into their pain, to enter into their experience. This is how he meets us in the sacraments. Sacraments of the anointing of the sick. When a sick person approaches the church and asks the church, the minister of the church, the priest of the church, according to the letter of St. James, those approach the healing power of the church for prayer over the sick and to lay hands and to anoint. The laying on of hands, that still happens in the sacrament of the anointing of a sick when a priest or bishop lays hands on the sick to invoke the presence of the Holy Spirit to heal. And oil is used for the conferral of the sacrament. Through this holy anointing, may the Lord in his love and mercy help you with the grace of the Holy Spirit. And usually when a sick person puts their hands out, they come like a beggar. It very much looks like that. Because when somebody is sick, they would almost do anything not to be sick. Nobody likes to be sick. So in the anointing of a sick, there's the anointing of the hands. May the Lord, who frees you from sin, save you, and raise you up. And the church anoints the palms of each hand. May the Lord who frees you from sin save you and raise you up. Might add that when a priest receives the anointing of a sick, his hands are anointed on his other side. Why? Why is the priest's hands anointed on the other side and not this side? Because his hands have already been anointed through the sacrament of ordination. After the bishop lays hands and the prayer of consecration, the priest comes as a beggar again, and the bishop anoints his hands in order to offer the oblation to the Lord, the sacrifice of the Mass, to consecrate his hands to God. So his hands are never again anointed, this part of the hands. So a priest always turns his hands like this. And then the conferral of the sacrament, if he receives the sacrament of the anointing of the sick, is received on this side of his hands. The Lord still touches our hands when we are sick. He still raises us up, just like in the gospel. Through the power of the sacraments, he gives us the means of salvation. He gives us the means to heal our sick souls. I know of an experience of a young man who was a heroin addict, and he was in a coma, and a member of the family reached out to another member of the family to talk about the sick family member, and somebody just reminded them, "Have you called a priest yet? Have you called a priest to administer the anointing of the sick?" Because sometimes in the midst of sickness, people forget to call the church. Oftentimes, a priest is called after somebody dies. You always want to remember when your loved one is sick to call the church, and not just to call the church after somebody dies, but while they're sick, to bring them in, call the church, that the church may administer the sacraments. This young man that was in a coma, he was in his 20s, was in a coma for many days, probably almost weeks. Had this side of his arm was completely deformed from infection from the heroin being administered. Priest comes in, and as soon as the priest touches his thumb to his forehead, his eyes open. He had been in a coma for days, weeks. Now, you tell me that God is not real. You tell me that God doesn't come to deliver and to heal. Does that happen every time? Is there a physical healing every time? Not always a physical healing, but there is always a personal saving encounter with Christ in the sacraments. That is, if we have the disposition to be open to receive. And obviously, this young man did. He had the openness and the receptivity to receive. And I am happy to say that for over 10 years, this young man is free from heroin. He goes to Narcotics Anonymous almost every single day. And that's part of his healing, too. That's part of his healing journey. Jesus does heal and deliver.